When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bond and AJ Appleton.
Right, all right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, AJ Applegarth and Dat Scout. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
What up?
Oh, hanging in there. Ready to get talking about some second and third base tonight. Getting you guys ready to draft those positions in your fantasy baseball leagues this season. But of course, before we jump into that, remind you guys to hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. We appreciate it. And go over to fantasysixpack.net, become an all access member, where you're going to get access to our rankings, that our award winning rankings over there, the draft cheat sheet, our projections, and then of course jump over into our Discord, where you're going to get direct access to all of us, including Dap and AJ and myself, and then all of our DFS guys over there. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. Those dudes are crushing it right now. Dave Eddy is just on fire right now. I mean, even cashing out in NASCAR. He knows literally nothing about NASCAR. Somehow figures it out. I don't know how he does it. But yeah, man. Yeah, without further ado, let's bring on our guest of honor for the week, Mr. Rudy Gamble from Razzball. Going on, man.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining us. Oh, thanks for having.
Yeah, welcome, man. Welcome. So,
have you back?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we are here to be talking some second and third base. This was your position of choice this year, and I think AJ, you're gonna be leading things off here. So,
all right.
Have the floor, man.
Are we just jumping right into the
real quick though, I thought we'd have a theme song for Rudy. I mean, Rudy is, like, you know, fantasy baseball royalty. The man runs this amazing site. His humor's off the charts, and honestly, I want to be like him when I grow up. So I thought there would be a theme song or something when he came on, so I was just hoping. He was giving me therapy advice before this show started. The man does everything. I'm in awe. I just, like I said. I mean,
that was a banging.
Oh, no. He left it on repeat.
Yeah. I like the that banging theme song from, whatever, like, the MIDIs were from Nintendo.
Yeah. RBI baseball.
That's exactly what it is. Our football one. You've been on the shows for that one too. We do the Tecmo Super Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
All right. Well, let's just jump into it here then. So tonight we're doing second and third base, and we'll start off with second base. So the past couple shows we kind of just jumped in and had straight question about players, but on this one, kind of want to get your opinion on whether or not you feel like the second base position is the least desirable position for fantasy this year. Basically what your take is on this and how you value the position overall, and you know, what's your general strategy for second base? Rudy?
I mean, everything is to me just catcher and not catcher. So with catchers, it's always a challenge trying to figure out where you're going to draft them, and I'm just playing the market, and generally, of, you know, trying to get at least one catcher in the first 20 rounds. And then I'm assuming, unless like the something goes really cheap or something goes horribly wrong, and then I'll take a second guy as kind of with the knowledge that I'll churn him out if anything comes up on waivers. But I know this isn't the catcher thing for, but basically for every other position, I kind of consider them pretty equal. Okay. So I prefer not to, you know, I'll take the set, my second base whenever it kind of comes up toward the top of the board and I like the skill set and the stats. And, you know, for something like my second one, if I kind of prefer if they have position eligibility, I try not to fill that too early, but I'm kind of open. Like, yeah, so I haven't had any issues in my first two drafts with second base. You know, I think it's just you kind of have to go with expectations that it's like, it's if your plan is, oh, my second base, I want to have hit 25 to 30 homers, you're either going to have to pay up or there's like maybe one or two guys that might be have average concerns to go for. So it's not the source for power. But I think it from a general five category, it gives good value.
All right, Dap, thoughts on
when I saw the questions for the show, right, I initially was like, oh yeah, you're absolutely right, and then I started looking through, and you know, you start looking at the top, right, it's top heavy, a lot of positions are, you have the Betts, the Simeons, the Albies, the Altuves, and then you start looking at kind of the injuries that occurred last year that, you know, really kind of put some people behind the eight ball and or suddenly destroyed fast starts and things of that nature. And I'm looking at you, Gorman, and some other ones here. I think it's actually a very deep position. I just don't think what the question's alluding to is that, you know, you kind of have to look at it first before you get excited. I probably put about 10 or 11 second basemen in the top 100. I mean, that's not nothing compared to where you were previously. And if you're in a 15 team draft, that means you're getting at least a top 100 player, probably, you know, with your, well, unless you skip second baseman altogether, you should be fine. But again, like what Rudy was talking about, right? Like if you're looking at power, then yeah, you got to see what you're going to do, right? Like, are you going to go for Torres, who's not going to maybe necessarily give you power and it's going to mess up your batting average? I think what you're going to be doing at second base is you're going to look at some, maybe getting somebody and trying not to mess up one of your other stats, because you could definitely do that. But I mean, there's a lot of exciting lottery picks, and then there's a lot of ones that are outside the top 12 that I'm really interested in. Like, you know, what's Julian doing this year? And some of these other guys that we'll talk about a little later, but like Zach Gelof. So compared to the other kind of years we've had second base, I think there's a lot of kind of interesting picks here that I wouldn't feel terrible leaving the draft with.
Okay. Joe, anything to add?
No, I mean, they said it all spot on there. I mean, like outside of Mookie Betts, obviously, who's got the second base eligibility now, and it just kind of separates himself. And so on the screen here, you're seeing kind of the overall consensus ADP. I pulled this from Fantasy Pros. This is like the mix of all the different sites ADP. So, you know, it's going to depend on where you play, but this is kind of the lump here. Now, like you can see there, I mean, there's a good number of second basemen in the top 10, although a bunch of them have multiple position eligibility, which is what Rudy was kind of saying. Like, that's a way to go about this position. It's just kind of like figure it out, right? You know, like you don't have to go after the Altuves and the Simeons, who are, they're good, but you're paying up for that, right? You know, you might be able to get some better players around that, better overall players around the range where you would have to draft them just because you want to fill your second base with like one of the elites, right? You know, I'm fine grabbing like a Ha-Seon Kim, who like may not win me any categories, but he's not going to crush me, right? And I'll just figure something out later on. You know, I like that. And I was looking at this position a lot more, obviously, before the show today. And there's a lot of dudes like later on who I was like, oh man, like, yeah, he's down there. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. I mean, like half of this list was not in the top 10 last year before we drafted. So like that should say right there that like there's going to be a lot of movement in this position. So like don't go crazy drafting it just because you think you're going to miss. There's going to be guys climbing up this board this year. Next year's draft board for second base is going to look completely different.
Yep. All right. Well, all good input and info. So let's jump into our first actual player question here for the night. So that goes to Mr. Nico Horner there, as you see, number 5, second baseman, 59 overall, currently for ADP. So Nico's been a pretty solid model of consistency with terms of average home run and RBIs the past couple of years. You know, his power numbers have been relatively low overall compared to the other numbers, but you know, you're getting three other categories there that's helpful. So then you have, you know, in only 15 more games last year, though, you know, he amassed 40 more hits than and more than doubled his stolen base totals, going from 20 to 43 between the past 2 years. So, Rudy, are you in agreement with Horner's current ADP of 60-ish, 59, I think it was, what we just saw? You know, if not, where do you think he should be drafted?
No, I mean, I have him on mine. I have him 58, so I'm almost in lockstep with consensus. I don't have him. I have him, like, as the 7th second baseman versus 5th. Okay. He has second base and shortstop eligibility, which is nice. Yeah, I mean, this is his build, which is heavier in the stolen base average and runs versus the homers RBIs. Let's just call it the general leadoff build. Yeah, it works for certain constructs. This is definitely one where if you've already drafted a heavy speed guy or two in the first couple of rounds, this isn't the guy I want to marry it with. But if, you know, this looks like the perfect thing if you've drafted, maybe you got one of like a Soto, a Jordan Alvarez, a Judge. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you've come out of that first round. I mean, you throw Freeman, Otani, Olsen, basically anyone outside of that, like 6 or 7 guys that have speed in the first round. It is one where I think you do want to address it in the first 10 rounds. You don't want to let that linger, that feeling of wanting to catch up for speed. So Horner's a good play there. He was one I very much targeted last year at pick around 150. It was a 10th, 11th round target. And part of that was that, I mean, that stolen base jump we're seeing, that to me was very much driven by the new rules, and he's got young legs. So he was in a very good position to take care of it. He obviously got a lot more plate appearances because he grabbed that leadoff slot and didn't let go for the most part. So I, like I said, I think he's a solid play. Expect a little, maybe just a little off those numbers this year. You know, but again, very team construct driven. Yeah.
Okay. That.
You know, so the last, let's say about the last week or so, my timeline on Twitter and or X or whatever the heck it's called, and some of the other places too, all they've talked about when it comes to Nico Horner is kind of, you know, is his swing changed a little bit? Is it steeper on the, you know, this trajectory? And of course, this is all eyeball analysis, right, initially. But I mean, he's saying that he thinks he has more in the tank and he thinks he can easily get to 15 plus home runs. I mean, if he gets to 15 plus home runs, you know, we're talking about a whole different, not ball game, but it definitely puts him up another tier, along with, again, you know, what Rudy was talking about, the new stolen base, you know, rules that are playing there as well. So look, give me the runs all day, you know, plug in the stolen bases. But if I could get also 15, 20 home runs, then that's not nothing either. But he's still going to be exactly what I think he's going to, you know, he's not where some people like Ruiz is going to give you just empty stolen bases. Right. And then just absolutely kill you in the batting average. This is not, mm-hmm. This is not terrible, especially if I can get him where he's going right now. But again, it's pretty exciting stuff. If some of the initial reports out of the Cubs training facility and also people that are getting video on Nico Horner as well, that if he's kind of changed the swing angle, that might be some interesting things to look at, especially as spring training goes on.
Okay. Joe, close us out here on your thoughts on Nico, if you got anything to add.
Yeah. I mean, I think Rudy said it best, right? Where like he's a team fit kind of guy. His overall like value over the season is going to be, like when you're just ranking him next to other players, is going to be high because he kind of jumps off the board with stolen base. He has a good batting average, right?
Really good runs. I mean, 98 runs.
Yeah, I mean, he may not score 98 runs again, right? Because he's not, you know, Cody Bellinger.
He's going to get 99 this year, right?
But I mean, still, even if those drop down just slightly, like if you can get, you know, 90 runs, you know, 10 home runs, 35 to 40 stolen bases, even with like a 280 batting average, that's a pretty solid player right there. But yes, you have to be able to have a solid base in power before you can draft somebody like Nico Hoerner. He would not be a fit for your team, but he's a great player if you're coming into that round and that spot in your draft and you're looking for some speed, and he won't kill you in the other categories like some of the other top speed guys like that was saying. So
yeah, I definitely like Hoerner this year. I think you know, the power numbers, like I said, they're a little on the lower end, but you can find power elsewhere, and to be able to get, you know, solid consistency in general is worth the, you know, the risk, in my opinion. It's not really much of a risk, honestly, but I like Hoerner as well. All right, so the next question here we've got is a little bit of a mix and match here. So Cincinnati Reds, sticking with the Central here, NL Central, they had three breakout stars last year, you know, and outside of Ellie De La Cruz in McLean, who's currently got the ADP of 56, you got Spencer Steer at ADP 96, and then you got Jonathan India. So all the way down at ADP of 220. So Dap, we're going to start with you here. Do you think that McLean, Steer, or India can return the value at their current ADP?
McLean has to have a perfect season. And that means both with, you know, his bat and his ability to not, you know, get injured. They're already talking about that he has an oblique pull. And, you know, it's really tied to the last injury, and he's already shut down for a week. We start getting to the, you know, those 60, 70, you know, plus ADPs. I mean, those are guys that if you lose them, you're expecting a huge drop off. And I just don't know if, I mean, McLean came out so hot, and I think there's going to be some adjustment there. And I'm just concerned that you're not going to necessarily get it. Spencer Steer, India all day. I think there's definitely, first of all, they play in, you know, the most hitter friendly ballpark in all of MLB. You know, they play the Colorado Rockies back in the 90s type ballpark now. And I, you know, if you can get me 20 plus home runs out of where his ADP is, plus, you know, an average is not going to kill me, and you're going to be in that lineup, that's great. But let me just hedge that with, I think right now the infield situation with the Reds is a mess. I don't think enough people are kind of seeing that. And there just seems to be too many players there right now. And I'm just would be concerned about, you know, who's going to be sitting. Are you going to be getting 3 days, 4 days out of people? It just seems to be too much talent. I think it's scary to say, but just too much talent right there to have that. If you're getting somebody like India, who's going to be sitting on your bench, absolutely, you'll be getting that value back. And I think you'll get it in spades. But if you're expecting, like, if you need a guy who's going to definitely be in a 5x5 league standard with maybe, you know, three outfielders and one utility, I'd be scared to grab a Steer if he's not going to be playing all the time, unless he's going for one of my bench spots.
All right, Joe, what do you think of these guys?
Yeah, I wrote, you know, so I did these early top 10 lists for each position for the site. And Matt McLean hit the, you know, got inside the top 10 as he should be. Super talented player here. The ceiling is immensely high for him, but I'm also worried that the floor, like the risk, is not baked into his ADP. People are just looking at like how good he could be, but also understand like he had some crazy stats last year that like pretty much tell you that you cannot expect last year to happen again. I mean, his BABIP was 385. That's not crazy, but it was 100 points higher than his batting average. You don't normally see that, right? Like that's like elite level stuff. And I'm not sure that's kind of him, you know. K rate was pretty high, a young guy, you know, you hope that can improve, but still just something to keep, just something to monitor. He actually did hit more ground balls than fly balls. So like maybe his home run pace really isn't sustainable. And then when you mix in an expected slugging rate of 435, that really tells me that his home run pace is not sustainable. So I'm expecting a little bit of a drop off, especially of the pace that he was on last year. And now you're mixing in obviously an oblique injury, which we know those things can linger forever, it feels like, and just, you know, creep back up on players really quickly. Just one bad swing and it's like, oh, there it goes again. I'm kind of out on McLain at draft price. I love India if, you know, he's basically free and, you know, you're pretty standard home leagues right now. So I'm fine taking a chance on him. I've always liked him as a player, but you're right, Dap. I'm not sure he's got a role really right now, especially with the signing of Candelario. Like, who knows what's going on there, man? They got a bunch of guys that they could pull up to. Like, it's just nuts. Steer's fine, man. Steer was awesome last year. I picked him up on free agency in a lot of leagues. It was like, who's this guy? All right, cool. Yeah, let's do him. Like, he was awesome. But, you know, he got kind of banged up. You know, he played a lot of games, but, like, it felt like he was kind of injured down the stretch and playing through injury. But he still had a phenomenal season. So I like Steer the most at cost here and what you can expect back. I think he's the safest player.
Yeah. Rudy, what do you got?
Okay. Well, I mean, I think all great points. I think, I think on McLain, I thought he was a solid value. He wouldn't be the guy I was targeting, but his ADP hasn't adjusted yet for the oblique news. I think that drops him from, say, 64. That knocks off at least 20 picks. I know I just did a draft yesterday. I probably should check to see where he went in that, but I feel like he was more like pick 80.
NFBC actually has him up at like 40 something.
Well, I had him at 63.
Really? Okay.
That's the one I use. I'm looking up yesterday's labor, because that was definitely one where the news was known. There wasn't like that one person who drafts him. Like, I can't believe you let him go. you know what? But you never know on that one, right? So someone probably found out later that that's why I don't know. You should never live stream a draft, because it could always end up poorly. Like that like an immediate like, oh, right. Yeah. But like even like at the end of the year, like having something where you're high-fiving an awful pick. So I'm going to use
I'm looking at Matt McLain now for the last like three weeks and he's at 58. Overall,
he went round seven, so that would be 16. He went pick 93.
Okay.
Or no, right. No, that's the seventh round, so it's 103.
Okay. Yeah. So he's dropped pretty good. So okay, yeah. Knowing that, I might be a little more okay with him. But
I mean, it's gonna
early on, right. Man. His ADP was high.
Yeah. So I mean, I felt like, you know, you've kind of have to go in and just try to think like a team and say, where do I think this is, where do I think the playing time is going to go with these guys? And my take is like, I think Elliott short, Marte at third, McLain at second felt pretty locked in. Steer is supposed to go in the outfield. And then you've got Candelario, Encarnacion, Strand, and India fighting for first base DH.
Right.
So you're right. Like India right now, I don't see the role. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. I think right time, he still has a season in him again to go like 380 OBP and like 20 homers. So he's the same guy I've liked in drafts in previous years, but right now I just wouldn't even draft him. Because basically what's going to happen is if he's playing four games a week in April, you have to drop him. So again, there's no payoff for that risk.
Right.
You need him to be playing immediately. With Steer, he had 665 plate appearances last year. I mean, I'd probably put him a good 100 less this year. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I do projections, so I probably should. I have him at like a 553, so like about 100 less. So yeah, that's nice to find that out. He, like, I look at him, he provides pretty good balance across the five categories. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he's going at pick like 100. I have him more like a pick 140. I don't think he's going to get that volume because he's not going to be a good outfielder. You've already got, I'm going to try the Friedel's a good outfielder. They got Fraley. I just feel like he ends up being a guy that, yeah, you know, gets 500.
Angelo, yeah, just, here said, yeah, I'm hanging with Friedel, whatever.
Yeah. It's tough. Friedel. But
Fraggle.
So yeah, so I'm not, so I like the team. I think if I wanted, and I mean, we'll talk probably talk about, but yeah, Ellie's price is super high.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like if you want this offense, in my eyes, I think like Marte, not to spoil this, but I would say Marte probably is your best in because it, I mean, I feel like third base defense, you don't want to screw with. Right. And India started as a third baseman. He was, when they move a guy off that quickly, it's doubtful the guy's ever going to go back. And Candelario, they've already moved off of third base in the pros. So I think, yeah, that's, I think it was always McLean could always shift to short if necessary. But yeah, with all the bleak stuff, I think that now becomes less likely. And in general, I feel like these all look like, feel like overbuys with the asterisk, like maybe McLean falls far enough that his skill set, which is like solid five category skill set, you know.
Yeah, it feels like that excitement from, you know, after De La Cruz and McLean got called up and they were just like must watch TV for a little while, man. It's like still just carrying over a little bit. And they were like a huge surprise team last year. They were like super fantasy friendly, you know, and
yeah,
they nobody wanted to touch them in drafts, obviously, you know, but so got to be a little careful with that, getting a little overexcited in drafts.
Yeah. All right. Good conversation. Lots of young talent here. And I agree. I think India is going to be the
not in this out, group.
Which,
but in the majors, it's nice.
Yeah,
the diversity here, you know. It's
like, we do have a question. Angela's asking about CES. So Christian and Encarnacion Strand. What's your thoughts about him, Rudy?
Yeah, so I'm looking up where I've got him. I mean, right now I've got him at like 406 plate appearances. I like the bat. Where you're paying, I mean, but you've got to take him the 10th or 11th round. And, you know, I've got him more as, if you could give me the 600 plate appearances, I would take it. Right. But as is that it's a first base and he's not going to get third base, right? That's already kind of gone. I don't think that pays off. If Candelaria wasn't in the picture, I'd be open with it. No. But that's one where, and this is just on the playing time. I would say in general, I'm skeptical of Indian Steer being like anything more than like okay to good major leaguers going forward. India, just the feeling like the banged up and defense and play. I do like Encarnacion Strand. I like Marte. I like McLean. I like De La Cruz as long term play. So, man, but at first base, I know we're not talking, like, first base is that position where it feels like even in, like, pick 300, you can get a guy like Josh Bell.
Yeah.
That the floor is, like, you have all these, like, really solid floors. So if there was a position, I'm like, I don't want to reach for Encarnacion Strand with first base only. So slight, 100%. That's the one thing on position besides catcher. Catchers, everything's off the table. Everything else, it's like, man, yeah. If you could, it's crazy how suddenly, like, as a draft goes on, you just see first baseman plummeting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
or at least some of them. So yeah, so I think I'd rather have like Hoskins right now is pick 180. I'd rather that, or I'd keep on going and keep playing chicken. I like Mountcastle way better, and he's picked 240.
Yeah, I remember last year in draft, same thing was happening with first, and I just kept like, I ended up having like a bunch of utility guys in like double utility leagues that were all first base, and I was like, I mean, fine, like they were all good, like I'll take it. So
yeah. All right. So next, last bigger second base question we got here. St. Louis, like Cincinnati here, has a trio of injured stars, not breakout stars. These guys are all injured. So we got Tommy Edman returning from a right wrist surgery. His ADP is currently sitting at 161. You got Brendan Donovan is recovering from a right elbow ligament repair procedure. He's all the way down at 283 for his ADP. And then there's Nolan Gorman, who's been dealing with on and off back discomfort since late July of last year. His ADP is, Freudian slip there. His ADP is 189. So he's between these two. But why... Why did AJ do this to the Cardinals? Can we say why did I do this to these Cardinals? I mean, can we safely target these players?
Look, let's pause for a second. So Joe and I had a bet that you would Ron Burgundy that question. So I threw in that extra piece in there just to see if you would just read exactly what the text was. So I apologize. Go ahead. I'm so sorry. That's why I was so excited that you
and I saw it, and then I was like, how am I gonna get around this?
It's okay, go ahead. I was so excited. I was like, on the teleprompter,
you know, I'm gonna read it.
So. Go ahead.
Well played. So anyway, can we safely target these guys as a middle infield, quarter infield options, bench depth, or are we just straight up passing? Joe, we'll start with you on this one.
Honestly, I think the only one I'm even mildly interested in is Donovan, just because he's much cheaper. I'm not really too interested in any of these guys. Edmund feels like he's always still got a little bit of like overhypeness around him. Like he came in and was like good right off the bat, but then never really grew much from that. Gorman obviously had you know, bit of a breakout last year, but obviously dealt with the back issues and then sort of slowed down. But you know, the power really showed itself there. The batting average not so much there, but you know, I think he could be good if he stays on the field. Donovan though, like not great numbers. He was sort of a dark horse for a lot of people last year. And I liked him, you know, and he was going like even cheaper than he is this year. And you know, it was unfortunate because he got the injury and that really shut him down, and he had a bit of a slow start, but then really started coming on strong. I do think that, you know, there could be a potential there for, maybe not 20 home runs, but like somewhere up in like the 17, 18 range, you know, max for him, you know, give him a double digit stolen base total there. I think he could be like a sneaky cheap, you know, bench player for you. Somebody that you plug in, you know, with injuries and things like that. But I don't think Donovan's really ever going to be like a guy that you're plugging in every day and being super excited about, but he, you know, he brings a good batting average too, you know, good plate approach there. So that for a guy who you can plug in from your bench for, he's not going to kill you in any category.
All right. Rudy, what are your thoughts on these collection? Yeah.
I mean, right. So I generally concur. I think, Edmund is more or less a stolen base only guy. He's a guy kind of faded for the last couple years, and he did put up a pretty good year, but it was always like, this guy shouldn't be the leadoff hitter. And once you make him the nine hitter, that you're going to lose a lot of value. And I think we saw some of that last year. And now you've got his, you know, he was locked in at shortstop, and now they got Mason Wynn, who I think is going to take over there. So he's going to be more back into the super utility mode. So Edmund's a guy I'm just kind of avoiding. He is not, and he's not giving you power. So you're really banking on the speed, and I just can get it elsewhere. Gorman is, I mean, you're combining it doesn't seem like a profile that is very sturdy. I mean, I think his batting profile of high K, when you have that high a K and you're being platoon split, you know, you've been protected against lefties,
mm-hmm.
doesn't really bode well. Because he's over the 30% K rate.
He's a power only, platoon bat.
And he could, that does come down with more reps. So there's potential, but that type also, and then you throw the back in there. I mean, I'm getting flashbacks to Brandon Lau. I think it's Lau, right? Lau, the Tampa Bay guy.
We had this discussion before he came on.
Which one is it, Joe? Which one is it?
Lau.
Wow. Okay, so he's a
Lau. I remembered.
He had that 39 homer year.
Right.
And then he hasn't stayed healthy. It's like, I don't know if third basemen are supposed to do that. So it's probably another thing I had to Julian as well. He's like the third guy of that archetype, where it's, but two drafts in, I did doing the TARF on Sunday and then labor, and I've got two Brandon Donovan shares at both around pick 300, one mm-hmm. a little earlier. And it's like, he's going to be the leadoff hitter. This guy's got he's pretty much what we had hoped, like what Brandon Indy, what I'm sorry, Jonathan India's potential was, high OBP, solid power, a little bit of speed. I like the value there. He's got second base and outfield. Unless it's a week or a half week, if you're playing certain sites where there's a lot of lefties, I think he will probably head to the bench against like half the lefties. But I think the stats you quoted are on. I'm not worried because he's had a lot of time on an elbow. I'm less worried about shoulder, wrist, oblique. Those would worry me more.
Yeah.
And it seems like I think he's going to start the year with a good, decent amount of DH. I like him. And he's the kind of player that when you think about like going to Nico Horner, like Horner is going to get you 30 more stolen bases. You want to say 35, I won't like argue. I'm not. Aside from maybe a little more durability, I don't know if he's getting you that much more than Brandon Donovan in the other four categories. That's kind of the way I think it's like. So it's like, if I could find a way to get that speed elsewhere, it's a pretty harsh thing to think like, okay, I could sacrifice 15 rounds just for that one uncorrelated stat.
Just hope that nobody else figures that out and sneaks him from you.
I mean, there's a reason for it. I mean, the Val, it's not like I don't have him. So he's someone on my board I have at 252, which doesn't sound great, but that's like 16th round in 15 teams, 16th, 17th round.
Mm-hmm.
But his ADP is 330.
Yeah, I've got him well ahead of his ADP as well.
So basically I have him valued similar or just ahead of Julian. I have Gorman better, but he's going 140 picks earlier. Donovan's a nice value play for your MI or, like that for having a bench bat with MI and outfield is nice.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But this is all predicated, I should say, that he's the leadoff hitter. And it is a fluid lineup. I don't trust, I'm very probabilistic with lineups. So I don't like any public lineup that is not put out by the team that hasn't, you know, shown itself throughout spring training. I'm very skeptical on. I mean, you just look at the St. Louis lineup and you're like, really? Like, I've seen like Newt Barr hitting third and I'm like, I don't, is he, why? I don't believe like Brendan, if he could be third, then why can't Brendan Donovan be the third hitter? Like, so you've got, so this, it's probably a team like now I'd like to stockpile it. And if somehow this shakes out and it doesn't shake Donovan's way, okay, I'll move off. But that there's very few teams that I feel have super fluid lineup things, right? There's always a few guys like Horner last year. I kind of felt like, I think he locks down leadoff hitter and that's going to change his projections for the better. But yeah, when you could, but usually there's teams like most of it's figured out. So when it's not, kind of try to, it's a good way to think about in the middle to late rounds. Is there someone like whose value's a little bit down? Like, I mean, let's just say even like Mountcastle. It's like, you know, Baltimore's got a good lineup. Yep. Like going from four to, like Mountcastle might hit cleanup. He might hit sixth or seventh. But if he hits cleanup on that team,
yeah, that's nice.
And then you got to think, like, why is he getting discounted so much for like a, maybe a bad month or so? Yeah. So it's something that goes through my head, but I think instead of thinking of things binary, thinking of them like probabilistically, and like, you know, what would it take to get that 18th round, 20th round guy suddenly giving you like eighth round value?
Yeah. Good point. Dap, anything to add?
Well, I mean, last offseason, I was beating the drum for Nolan Gorman. You know, Joe, we yes, talked about were. The fact that he had closed that big, you know, hole in his swing, getting those high fastballs, and definitely showed out. I mean, you know, he was a very popular waiver wire pick. You know, I think he hit close to 13 home runs in the first, you know, up to May, was hitting 277. But at that price, like, you know, everybody's already said, like, I'm out at that price. If he drops another maybe two rounds, I'd probably pick that up. But, you know, my big concern with Edmund is, you know, it's a wrist injury. Not like he was going to, you know, hit balls out of the park, but it seems like anybody having Tommy John that's a hitter, we should not worry about anymore, as Ohtani and Bryce Harper have shown. Apparently that gives people power. But wrists still scare the heck out of me. And I think there's just a long history showing that, you know, anytime there's a wrist injury, that's worrisome. So if you want me to rank kind of the injury worry, I don't know if that was the original question, it'd be Donovan, Gorman, Edmund all day. I'm freaked out about, you know, that. And that would definitely put him down. But I wasn't really trying to draft him anyways. Now, Brandon Donovan, seems like every year I end up with Donovan. It's just a matter of when in the season I end up with him. And that's when I know how messed up my season is. Like, if you know, when you initially are sorting by stats, you're like, oh, Brendan Donovan's there, I don't need it. But then, you know, he adds another position of eligibility, and then he adds another one, right? And you're like oh, you know what, I need to put Brendan Donovan on my team because I lost 12 players. And that's
best when ball I'm like, leagues, man, he's the king.
He's absolutely but you know, the thing was, is that, you know, St. Louis was such a mess last year, which is weird because from an organization perspective, like Atlanta and the Cardinals are kind of those safe bets from a fantasy perspective, that if they're starting somebody, typically there's a reason why they're starting them. And it just seemed like they were just trying to fill holes last year and nobody was really performing well. Yeah. But again, I'm kind of out on all three of these guys for various reasons, right? Gorman, because the price is too high. Donovan, because he's always the bellwether for whether or not my team's sucking. So that's just a personal thing. Donovan's great, don't get me wrong, but he's always, if I have to have Donovan on my team, Donovan. That's Donovan's fault if my team sucks. But Edmund, the wrist injury, and, you know, one-sided kind of, you know, stolen bases, I get that elsewhere. But yeah, definitely. God, I hope the Cardinals pick it up. It's hard from a fantasy perspective to see that team kind of hit the skids like it has.
All right.
All right. Well, let's finish out second base position here with our favorite late round sleeper picks for the position. Rudy, we will start with you.
So I think this guy's definitely knocked down a bit for recent injuries. But Jorge Polanco has been really good the last 2 years. I mean, incredible, I think, 2 years ago. Had an amazing second half. I only remember I picked him up in one league. That was kind of a zombie team, but at least he animated it mildly. You know, goes to Seattle. I mean, I like the lineup. You know, we weren't counting on him for superpower anyway. I mean, I think he had the 1 year he had the power, but I mean, he's kind of a solid five category play. He's not going to hurt you anywhere. I think it's just a matter of health. That's probably another team where some of the lineup parts are fluid. I mean, J.P. Crawford isn't locked in the first. He's not that good to lock him in as the definite number one guy. It's kind of you're building around Julio. It's Julio and a whole bunch of deck chairs. And so Polanco could be middle of the lineup, could be leadoff. All good.
Projected to be third right now.
I mean, right. But as I said, like, so you just think it, but you look at the rest of the team and you're like, you know, they don't have a third baseman right now. I mean, right now I see Josh Rojas as the placeholder. I mean, guys like Luke Raley, Haniger, Ty France really, fell off last year. So yeah, I look at this team. I'm like, yeah, Polanco, and we've seen Polanco basically put together good, like, you know, I'd say like 10th round numbers at least. So yeah, I'd pick, right now his ADP is like around 250, 260. Yeah, I mean, reaching a round or two from there, so that'd be like 13th, 14th round in 15 team. Yeah, if I needed if I didn't have a second base, I'm definitely taking him. And I like him for MI and it there as well. I haven't taken him yet, but when he goes off the board, I've kind of winced. I'd be like, oh, that's when you know you're not good at fantasy, but there's like God, like, oh man, I can't believe you took that guy. Like everyone who overreacts, it's like, no, yeah, there was a good chance he was going to go around then. And maybe you don't have to wear it on your sleeve, my man, just, or woman, just, but but I will say Polanco is one of those, like, that feels too late. And so, yeah, that, and you put that mental note. Yeah, that you try to put for the next draft. It's like, I gotta pay attention where Polanco's going, and yeah, maybe reverse. Yeah, maybe I don't take a second baseman if there's two people that are close in the sixth round in order to take advantage of that. There you go.
All right, Joe, what do you like?
Yeah, so I'm going with a guy that it would have been Brendan Donovan, but we already talked about him, so I felt like I had to pick somebody different. But somebody you already mentioned, Rudy, is Brendan Lau. I know the injury concerns are there. Obviously, Polanco's got the same thing, but I mean, like, this guy's going dirt cheap in drafts. I mean, like around 300, if not later. He's got power. Batting average is going to be a struggle for him. But man, if this guy can stay healthy, man, we're talking 30 home run power up, I think, pretty easily. So I mean, that's gonna be pretty nice for where you can get him in drafts. But we're talking about fluid lineups, man. Tampa,
right?
But that's the one thing you gotta worry about. But
right, but that's the one where if you know, it's hard to say, is Gorman demonstrably better? Like, if you could wait a couple rounds and take Lau.
I would take Lau over Gorman. If right. I had a choice between those two, yeah, all day.
But
yeah.
Right. So it's just with ADP, yeah, that if, you know, but like, or, and I mean.
You can wait.
And he's after Julian.
Rounds.
Right. Yeah, so he's
after. It's like 100 picks between these two on average right now, almost.
And in the NFBC one last 2 weeks, it's 80. But yeah, that's like five rounds. Yeah, if that's the difference between having like, you know, a much better SP4, you know, like it's definitely a way to think that, yeah, when you're, you know, so Gorman, you're paying a little bit more for the injury risk, 30 homer platoon second baseman.
Wow. Why don't you just call him out? I mean, just tell him tell me how you feel about
it. It's not, I mean, the Gorman price isn't bad. It's that's the thing. It's all about like
vegetarian eats kale.
It's like Chris Rock said, it's all about options. And yeah, so there's just that, there's other options. And I mean, there's always some position, whether maybe that means that you don't have to have as bad of a catcher.
Right.
But I mean, the middle rounds, there is just a point where you look at the draft board and be like, and you just take a deep breath. You're like, yeah, there's no, this is all darts.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So it's a really important that, you know, for me, for 15 team that picks 11 to 20, you've got to get guys that end up, you know, you want like four or five guys that make it to the end of the season for you on your roster.
Absolutely.
So with that importance, yeah, if I could push one gamble. I swear to God, I did not do that on purpose.
Yes, he totally did. He saw the sparkle in his eyes.
As the word came out my mouth, I was like, oh. But but yeah, like I'm basically looking for any way to like.
Hey, Mike, remember we wanted timestamps for good clips of the show? That right there, we got it.
Oh.
He gets a percentage of every video take that says his name.
Man, that was like a Ron Burgundy moment. It's my own stupid.
We got AJ calling himself out in a question that he didn't know was there.
I was just like, I'm just gonna read it.
You just read it anyway. All right.
Well, I was trying to like think in my head. Is AJ short for something else that's not me? God. It's like, no.
All right. So I'm going to tell you mine. You know, you don't, mine's not much of a gamble. David Schneider, look, David Schneider, this is the year that the Blue Jays give up on Gavin Biggio and they put him out to pasture. They take him out to picnic. They let the back door open. They go, run out, Kevin. We'll be right there. And they close the door and they take off. There's just no reason why Gavin Biggio should be getting at bats. And the only reason why David Schneider ended up on this kind of this skid at the end of the year is because they kept messing with his playing time for no reason other than to put Gavin Biggio in and just to have him suck. I mean, the thing is, he came out and had a 252 WRC plus in his first 100 major league plate appearances. The guy was insane. We highlighted him, I think, in three waiver wires in a row. He just, if you weren't picking him up, it was just nuts. And the only reason I just kind of saw that he started hit, other than, of course, pitchers started to adjust a little to him, were two reasons. One, he had the highest percentage of out of the zone pitches called strikes. So pitches that weren't actually strikes. 9.2%. He was highest numbers. It was nuts. The second reason is that you didn't know when he was playing. And yes, we talked about playing time being a thing, but at pick 400 something, I think his ADP is way in the 400s. This is a great dart throw. This is a great, you know, and just to see what's kind of going on. He's a legit player. He has a great discernible eye. He's not swinging at everything. He has one of the lowest chase rates. The thing is the Blue Jays just, I don't know if Kevin Biggio has blackmail on the GM. I don't know what's going on there, but there's no reason whatsoever that Biggio should be playing. They're playing Schneider right now at both second and left field, and hopefully giving him more at bats. But
it's David because, Schneider is huge. It's because Toronto loves Nepo babies.
They do. Yeah. Absolutely.
He just walks in and says, "Hey, do you guys remember my dad? He was pretty good. I think I could be him."
After the sixth year, I swear this time I'm gonna be better, guys. I'm gonna be better this time. He's definitely gonna be a guy. If David Schneider starts picking up, you know, four or five starts a week, all day. He'll definitely be a top 200 ADP guy.
Yeah. So speaking of reading the teleprompter here, it's Davis Schneider. So that's two strikes on the slide there
for stupid slide. Ugh.
For Mr. Bond here.
Yeah. And it's also, they don't really have a third baseman either. So he might get you second, third at some point in the year.
I mean, yeah, but Cavan's got that third base eligibility, so.
Ever since Ben Zobrist went away from me, I've been looking for my next Ben Zobrist.
All right, AJ, who you got, man?
Last guy here is going with the fresh signing, Mr. Whit Merrifield. Yeah, it's a bit of a homer pick, but Whit burned me a couple years ago, and I was very angry about it. Specifically at him for doing so, but he's been a solid talent throughout his career. He's got speed. He's got good average. He can hit the ball. He gets on base. He's a good defender. He's got speed in the outfield. And this is all things that Philly needs. I mean, he signed an $8 million contract for 1 year with an $8 million second year option for 25. He came to Philly because he wants to win. So, you know, he said it himself. He's already done everything else. Now I want to win. Now, playing time, you know, could be a little sporadic here and there, but we'll see what happens. You know, Brandon Marsh is injured, dealing with an injury. So he may start off slow out of the gates. Johan Rojas, who was crazy exposed for how bad of a hitter he was, and he was only in for defense, was clearly shown in the NLCS. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Whit get plenty of playing time, and he can plug and play all over the diamond. So I like him as a late-round flyer, and if some other injuries occur, which I hope they don't, he could be the benefactor in getting more playing time. So, all right, that wraps up second base. Let's try to speed through third base here a little bit quicker. Start off with Mr. Jose Ramirez. Currently, J-Ram's sitting at an ADP of 14. Basically puts him outside of the first round for your standard 10 to 12 team leagues and just about out in 14 teamers. So, Rudy, do you currently have him outside of the first as well, or do you still believe he's a legit first-round pick or can bring back that value for you?
I mean, I think he's a guy at the turn in 15 team, 12 team, you know, more of a second rounder. But I think the market was too high on him last year. Yeah. That to me, like, you know, he was never going to do what we saw like Horner do and really take advantage of the stolen base role. He's too old and he's too valuable. And he's just too many miles. But he put, that's a really good line he's got there. I mean, it was the lineup definitely let him down probably in opportunities. And it's probably not gonna let him down again, I guess. But yeah, he gives you really good value and he's given you stolen bases that, you know, if it weren't for that, I'd rather have Riley or Devers. But yeah, I could see putting him in, you know, having him on some teams, just to make sure you get out of the first two rounds without being too low on stolen bases.
All right. What you got, Dap?
You know, there's talk about him hitting second, this year. You know, but like Rudy said, you know, it's the rest of the lineup there. I mean, you know, he can pop you 25 home runs. Great. If he gets you, you know, 20 stolen bases are pretty cheap nowadays, but I mean, it's still a great line. It's just going to be a matter of where I'm having to draft them and what's going to be the construct of my team. But I mean, Jose Ramirez, until the guy's wheels fall off, like, he's still pretty awesome and he's never let me down, except for that one time he told me he was going to show up at my house for my birthday and he never did. But other than that, he's been awesome.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, he's outside the first round in your standard 10, 12 leagues now. But I mean, he's going to be reliable. I mean, last year, I mean, you got to remember, like, I mean, you guys have already said it. The ladder run-up was horrible. They had a WRC, a team WRC plus of 92. That's not good. And he started off slow himself, coming off the thumb, the UCL injury in the thumb or whatever it was. And so he, you know, he hit just 6 home runs in the first 2 months of the season and still finished with 24. So, like, I think he's going to be fine. But yeah, I mean, I think stolen bases might be right around where we're going to get right now. So you're not going to expect much more there, but maybe the rest of the numbers tick up just slightly. But he's going to be just fine.
All right. Okay. Next up, we've got a couple of rookies here. We kind of touched on one of them, Mr. Ellie De La Cruz. The other one was actually last year's rookie of the year, and that's Mr. Gunnar Henderson. Both of them have, you know, pretty similar ADPs. You got Gunnar sitting at 33.2 and Ellie at 39.4 coming into this year. So, Joe, I'll start with you on this one. Are you worried either of these young stars are going to fall victim to the dreaded sophomore slump, or are you just targeting them at their current cost?
So I don't really think either one of them is going to have a sophomore slump per se. Gunnar had enough, I think, in his first cup of coffee up that I don't, like, last year was weird to still call him a rookie, in my opinion. He had a lot of playing time. He was, like, right there. but still, like, I think Gunnar Henderson is what we see here. Now, it's weird. So, like, before last season, right, I remember saying lots and lots and lots of times, like, we had this massive gap, right? It was, like, the first 6, right, stopped with Bregman, right? And then it was, like, 2 rounds, and then it was, like, everybody panicked. It was, like, oh, man, I got to get Gunnar Henderson. But then it was, like, 4 rounds later, and you could get, like, Max Muncy and the rest of the third base. And like, yeah, Max Muncy destroyed you in batting average, but you know, he still did Max Muncy things, right? And so it was like, I was not paying up for Gunnar Henderson, a guy who kind of didn't really flash. Now, last year, like, through May, man, I looked like a genius. And then it was like, oh, yeah, Gunnar Henderson decided to remind everybody why he was such a touted prospect. Hitting 23 home runs, you know, from June on. You know, he had a 52% hard hit rate. Like, that's just unreal. He was just like, he just flipped the switch, man. It was just, like, amazing. But I still think he kind of profiles as, like, a, you know, mid 20 home runs to, like, high 20s home run guy, a decent batting average. You know, I don't think it's going to be upwards to where he was a 276 batting average the rest of the season from June on when he finally flipped the switch, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as he was early on. So it's going to be somewhere in the middle. But paying, like, upwards in the 30s for him, I think, is a little bit of an overpay here. And on De La Cruz, like, he's another guy, man. He came out, like, even more on fire than Matt McClain did, right? And I mean, he was the guy, like, everybody wanted to turn on the TV and see, and he was amazing. The first few weeks, man, with him, like, the first month was just unreal. Month of June, he hit 307, you know, 3 home runs, stole 9 bases. You were like, oh, man, this guy's, like, the next real superstar. Oof. 191 batting average the rest of the way, 33% K rate. Power and speed were still there because he's just talented. Like, when he hit the ball, like, it went. But that worries me with him. And not that I think there's going to be much of a sophomore slump, because he already hit 235, and that's kind of already bad. But I don't know, like, unless he really makes a lot of adjustments, I don't know if it's worth paying up for the potential for him yet. Like, he's kind of a guy that I'm, like, definitely afraid to draft at his ADP.
Yeah. All right. Rudy, anything to add for these two, or thoughts on either of them?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm out on Ellie at ADP. I think you're going to be starting with, he didn't show he has plus power. He did not show it in terms of home runs. So what he did show is he stole a lot. Mm-hmm. he's not going to help. He's going to be bad and average. And I don't think he's going to be that good, partially because of average, partially because of homers, partially because of lineup position. I don't think he's going to be that great on counting stats. Mm-hmm. So I just look at it that maybe if he had shown like crazy power as well, I could talk myself into like third or fourth round. But at current price, you know, 20 pick 25, I'm definitely out. With Gunnar Henderson, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. He's good. I think average will probably be the part that he probably gives the average stolen bases. He's just fine. Yeah, I mean, I think the value is not bad. Just don't. I think he needs to fall a little bit. I have him at like 40. So if in a league and he fell, I could see doing it, especially if I didn't get a shortstop or third base on the first two picks. But not a right now. I wouldn't call neither are targets. Mm-hmm. It's a bummer on Ellie.
But. Yeah. That.
Yeah, no, I'm taking Ellie first overall, and then with Gunnar. No, I'm kidding. So, yeah,
I mean, it's your fault,
right? Yeah. Look, I mean, I think the thing is, it's just it's one of those things that I want to watch Ellie play. I don't want Ellie on my team at that price. And Gunnar, I mean, if I had to read one more article in those first 2 months, where it's like the Orioles aren't worried about Gunnar, you know, because he's doing quality at bats and he's not worried about his slump, I was just like, kill me. Right. But at the same time, he showed that he was awesome. Of course, you're worried about the ballpark, but he showed that he's just way too talented. These guys are awesome. It's one of those things where if you're going to be a good fantasy player, just like in poker, you have to separate yourself from what it is. Like, oh, I have pocket kings, but it looks like there's, you know, three aces on the flop. It's kind of worthless. These guys are awesome, but at the price that I'm out at that price.
Yeah, I agree on Ellie. I can't dive in on that. I'll let somebody else do it, and then let somebody who I want hopefully continue to fall to me. So, Gunnar, I may be, it depends on the draft and where he falls, but I'd be.
Gunnar just feels safe. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like he's not gonna. You know.
I still think it's
Rudy makes me feel
it's
safe.
It's early, but I don't know. I'd be more comfortable taking him where he is versus Ellie, for sure. So,
right. I guess, I mean, a question for him I'd throw out is that, like, I mean, where's, like, Corey Seager has completely proven he's an elite bat and that you could throw in average, right? So if we didn't talk about stolen bases, mm-hmm. Corey Seager's better than Gunnar Henderson right now. Is that a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right? And they're going at the same price.
So then now you're adding a groin injury to Seager. So
right. But I mean, I think that certainly is taking a little bit off. I mean, the guy I've gotten in both my drafts in the third round is CJ Abrams. And that gives me not that he doesn't have risk in him as well, but yeah. I think you're looking at, yeah, I don't know. I feel like you're looking at you might be looking at like next year would be the year you'd kind of want Ellie. That you could almost picture a year where Ellie De La Cruz has a pretty poor first half, starts figuring things out in the second half, and then you're like, and then somehow just the stink of the first half puts him in the third round.
It's all the people that overdrafted him this year. They got burned. Right. You know, because he didn't start off well, that are like, I'll never draft him again.
Right. So it's like,
and so then you get a discount.
Right. So like, I mean, I didn't picture it going into last weekend. I'd have like 2 for 2 on Abrams. And you start looking like, this guy's as good a bet for 50 plus stolen bases as anyone.
I love Abrams.
Yeah.
This year.
I think that that's just the way to, like, it's nothing bad to say about Gunnar Henderson. I mean, except for the name, which is makes me think of the band Nelson. but other than that
boomer name. If he keeps growing that hair out,
right.
He'll be right there.
I mean, I forgot the other Nelson. I forgot what is Gunner and don't remember the other Nelson. I just know that they had the Love and Affection song. And but that checked out. Like if those guys in the first three rounds, it's like I probably want, if like a Corey Seager never, he peaked around that mid to late second round because he had this, you know, he never gave you stolen bases. And maybe, you know, like, so I look at Cutter Henderson, I'm like, yeah, he's getting picked around the second, end of second round in 15 team. That feels like he shouldn't be there yet.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Ellie is just,
that's just hype.
Yeah. If there's one tip, there's one tip I can give is that it's like, we naturally bias towards we, not me. So it's the projected way to homers and stolen bases over the other.
Who
three.
Was the red? Like, was it was a red, right? It's like 3 years ago that like came up and was lights out, and then everybody got excited. He didn't get drafted quite as high as Cruz, but I'm trying to think of his name now.
Is a pirate?
No, Polanco? It was a Cincinnati Red.
Oh, Red. It wasn't Willie Mopena.
Outfielder?
I think it was an outfielder.
Oh, Aristatus or something. That guy.
Talking about... not
what, Willie Mo?
Oh, my gosh. That's going to... I had him on a Dynasty team. I was able to snatch him out because nobody had him. Like, well, it was like a keeper league. But,
right.
And, it definitely, his last name started with an A, or like, you're close, AJ, but yeah,
I just remember that guy. He came up and he just mashed the car.
Oh, it was like every day. It was like home run in the stall base, like every day. It was crazy. But yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. And then the guy was just garbage. Not that I think Cruz is going to be that.
No,
but,
I had a lot of him last year in, like, you know, whether it be stashed in a deeper format or picked up off waivers in the leagues that somehow I could get him. And yeah, I mean, like that, his floor last year still was pretty damn good. You know, it's just saying, yeah, at for a second round. Yeah. Like he's not particularly good in three of the five categories. And power and speed, Aquino. I could figure out.
That's his name.
Yeah, Aristides.
Oh, Albert. Aquino. No, yeah.
Yeah, Aristides Aquino. Yeah, remember how good he was?
Yeah.
No, I think
I picked him up. And I was like, yeah, man,
dude, this guy's so good. Drafted so high the next year. I just totally remember that. Yeah. I was all in, dude. I loved it. And then
I think it's a total kind of upside play. I get it. There's just so few cases, I think, where really leagues were won by being that bold.
Yeah.
Right. Like I can't think of, and I feel like I'd say like a CJ Abrams would be like a calculated bold. Like it's definitely that you're not, you'd like to mix and match with maybe a boring guy. I think I got Machado in one draft. Like, okay. Yeah. Abrams Machado. That feels like the right amount of like safe and kind of upside play.
Yeah, but I had that would be an awesome pairing.
Yeah, but so that's just the way I'm thinking. So I think, I think there was a note, I think it was Dapsa from last year on third base. There's just no need to panic on this position. There are players throughout the draft. It might be something where if you know, I don't even think it tears quite as dramatically as last year.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I don't have it tearing that much. When I look at ADP, it clearly does.
Top 10. There's a lot of dudes in the top 100. This doesn't even have them all. Like I didn't like.
But it's a weird one where like it looks like there's like a cliff right now with Steer and Arenado, and like pick 100, and then Baum goes 160, and you know Cabrian goes like 180, Marte goes 170, okay, Jung goes.
Last year was different. Last year it was like the first six, which ended with Bregman last year,
like
were all within
cliff.
Like the first 50, maybe first 40.
Right.
And then it was like 20, 25 picks later, Henderson. And then it was like 20, 25, maybe 30 picks later, if not more. And it was like Muncie and Ed and everybody else. But everybody was so terrified to go that deep. That's why everybody was like, oh, you got to go reach for third base. I think that ended up being a mistake.
There was enough guys came up. I mean, like Josh Jung had that really good year. Jake Berger was a waiver guy. Spencer Steer, either waiver or a late pick.
Foreshadowing.
Brent Gifo had a really good second half. Baum came back pretty well. Paredes. Muncy was fine. Candelario. Like, you just kind of go through it. You're like, it's fine. And you know that, you know, CI will get a bunch of first base, so the depth won't be as tested.
And stuff. I think a lot of what people do is they look at like Devers, Riley, like the top guys, and then they try to compare it with who they get it, like, you know, third base 12, and they're like, my third base sucks, and you're like, no, he doesn't, because you have an elite outfield or two, or a first base and a second base who are elite. Like, you're fine. Yeah, just relax. So, you built your team the way it's supposed to perform.
And it's the guys like Kim that, you know, like, you, like, he was on one of my 12 teams. Like, so it's just, I got 8 or 9 teams, so it's inevitable. But like, I don't even remember how we got him. You know, like, it was like that random week where he just seemed to be the best available, and I don't know if we patched him into MI or third base or whatnot. You know, like, it's just knowing that
it happens.
Yeah, you're gonna be able to fill this stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's just no reason to panic. You know, like, I just focus more on the categories. I do think, we were talking before, like, I think Steer feels like Steer's the one guy in that middle range that feels like an overdraft.
A little bit. Yandy and Jung and Baum.
Yandy is real. Well, he's not third base this year, at least in
Fantasy Pro still has him listed as third base. Yeah. But you're probably right.
In some formats,
they might not have updated it on, because some of the sites still might have him there. You're right, though.
Right. So there, I mean, the other guy, I don't know if he was on. Yeah, he's definitely on this list. I mean, like, guys like Bregman is a nice value. Machado's good. Arenado's, even for where he's going, fairly priced, right? He's because he's such a 25-90 guy. The guy that jumps out to me, like, I'm not getting besides Ellie, is Royce Lewis.
Yeah, he's another risky, like, not there yet.
I mean, I don't believe. Well, I just don't think he's gonna steal. So I take that out. Yeah, I mean, I think he looked really good last year. I'm not convinced he's like, I don't know, I'm not that convinced he's going to be that much better than, a few of the other guys. I think I'd rather have Machado or Bregman.
Yeah. It's funny, though, like, when I was writing the third base, you know, article that I did over for the site, like, I was trying to talk to be like, oh yeah, but then, like, some of the guys ahead of him will be able to steal more, and I started looking and being like, actually, not really. Like, outside of Ramirez, like, not a lot of dudes at the very top run a lot in this position, so, like, there's not a lot of speed to be found at third base, not like some of the other positions, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I see it. So, I mean,
kind of weird.
Yeah,
kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, well, speaking of Arenado here, so if we take out the 2020 COVID shortened season,
which I did,
basically, what's that?
Which I did on the screen.
Fantastic.
You're welcome.
I mean, Arenado saw his RBI total dip below 100 for the first time in 7 full seasons, again, taking out 2020. His homers and his runs totals have all seen steady declines over the past few years as well. So now that Arenado is entering his age 33 season this year for 24, he'll be 33 in April. Is his current ADP of 82.2 too high for the assumed drop in overall production, or is he worth taking in the late sixth, early seventh round? That, what do you think?
Man, I don't know. It's just, if he felt, it felt like the people that were old last season in St. Louis got really old really fast. It was like the opposite of, you know, Gatorade is what, you know, electrolytes is what plants crave. Like it was like, you know, old people is what, you know, the Cardinals crave. I know what Rudy's going to say. Yes, from a numbers perspective, you know, he's showing you a lot of good stuff. From a sheer gambling perspective, I don't know. I don't know.
Just what my with this one.
I got four there.
You opened up the door for that one, Rudy.
Yeah, I just, I'm just going to tell you, like, I don't feel comfortable with it. It just feels like the wheel coming off there. In St. Louis, it just, I don't know. I want to, but again, from a purely non-feelings perspective, yeah, look, if you could be, or Arenado's a stud, Hall of Famer, awesome, he's going to do great, but every, you know, the player in me, I'm trying to avoid where he's at, unless I'm getting about two rounds later than where he is.
All right, Joe?
Yeah, I'm having a tough time analyzing Arenado and really getting a feel for who he is at this point in his career. You know, I feel like we did a lot of the same analysis with Goldschmidt a few years ago. We were all going, oh man, all right, now's the decline. And then Goldschmidt was like, boom, I'm back. Screw all y'all. Like, could we do the exact same thing with Arenado this year? Absolutely. Because I think he's that good of a player. We've seen it throughout his career. But at the same time, he'll be 33. You know, he plays that third base position, which can, you know, make somebody feel pretty old pretty fast sometimes. And it's rough defensively. So maybe that's playing a toll. You know, I think we said it during the second base preview when we talked about all the Cardinals. They were an absolute disaster last year all around. So like that obviously played a part in it too. Everybody was bad for that team, like underperformed. And so I'm expecting a bounce back kind of from everybody, but what does that really mean? I mean, his batting average dropped pretty significantly from 2022. In 2021, it wasn't great either. Right. And so he had a huge bounce back in 2022, but then it dropped back again last season. So two out of 3 years, it hasn't been good in St. Louis. And then the power is dropping each year with it. It's like, man, just something doesn't feel right. So I'm kind of with you, Depp. Like, I'm sort of like, man, like if I'm really stuck and there's nobody else there in the draft, like fine, I'll take him. I think he's not going to like destroy me, but it's, I feel like there's just going to be like people that pass him again this year.
Yeah. I don't have the arguments on there. I mean, it's funny in NFBC, he's going at a pick 100. So on mine, I'm like at 90. So I'm kind of in the middle of the two, yeah. But, man, that's probably a part of the draft where I probably want a closer or a starting pitcher. So I don't think I've ever had Arenado on a team. Like he's been in this weird range where it's like, I don't want what he's either. I think he's overpriced or, I haven't wanted that position there. So yeah, I'd rather wait a couple rounds, get, even though I don't, yeah, necessarily love some of the values, I'd rather have Jung or Berger at a cheaper price. And, yeah, and they're like younger.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, if you can get that middle lineup power third base, and yeah, I think what you're saying on this stuff's all good. It's like third base is definitely one position, like a second base. And historically, guys fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
That it's like a guy's going along like this, and then like, yeah, you know, he has like a pretty off year, somehow toward the end of a contract, then before you know it, like Arenado's, I mean, I doubt he'll be a starter in the league at 36.
You heard it here first, people. Right. Rudy has called out that Nolan Arenado will be officially leaving the league at 36.
He will retire.
No, he'll be put out the pasture. It's okay. Use those words.
But they'll be clapping, and the best fans of the world will definitely give him a nice standoff.
But will you be singing "Can't Live Without Your Love and Affection" by Gunnar and Matthew Nelson?
It's such a basic name. How do you have twins and then name one Gunnar? And then one like Matthew.
Well, because the first one's like Gunnar, and they're like, oh, we got one more. Oh.
Because the first one shot right out. The second one was a little bit of a boring taken. Wow.
Nobody. What happens when we're at the hour 25 minute mark? We get those jokes from AJ.
I don't know which one was born first and what the difference was between the actual minutes of birth. Anyway, let's close things out here with our late round sleeper picks for the third base position. Joseph, we will start with you again.
Wait, what? No, start with Rudy. Right?
No, we started with you. Oh, yeah, sorry, Rudy.
I was like, we didn't.
Do you want me? I could start.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy, okay. Sorry.
I will say that the second base picks you guys made were definitely deeper, I like both the second base ones. So I'm probably a little not. I probably should have dug deeper on this one too.
But, you're fine.
Michael Garcia on Kansas City. You know, it's a rare deep third base speed play. I'm just constantly bearish on the Kansas City offense. Just not a good park. They don't have probably plus talent, let's just say. The counting stats aren't going to be there. He's not a great on power source, but I mean, he has the potential to go like 35, 40 stolen bases with a tolerable average, and thus, if hitting leadoff, decent runs. So I don't hate it. You know, that would be it's not how I would build a team, but there's I don't think there's a lot of tolerable outs if you're low on speed.
There's the ring of endorsement from Rudy. I don't hate it.
that's about it. When you're like, because I'm thinking of it as,
I get it. Well,
when you say late round third base targets, it's like you either have to be like, I'm psyched about this pick, or you're just kind of like couching it in like, man, you waited.
It doesn't suck.
Round. Like, well, basically, yeah. Once, so if you think of it as like, I mean, for 12 team, yeah, you're going deeper. At some point in the draft, you're going.
It gets ugly.
Worst case, the worst case is that guy that just zombies on your team all year. But it's like Michael Garcia, you're like, if I draft today and I pick him, he might not be on he might be off the team on the first waivers.
Case is you draft Anthony Rendon and he plays 60 games this year because he just doesn't want to play anymore. Well,
right. No, that's true. But that's just a bad pick right there. I think the good thing with Garcia, at least, is that if he's not the leadoff hitter on an opening day, or let's just say the first 2 days, I'll be generous. He's gone.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's going to be some third baseman that increased value at the same time, like some, and I won't say names because, you know, I don't want to guess your guys. Yeah, there'll be other guys, but for a late-ish pick, if you need speed and you've already got your power, I'd put him on the emergency list, your plan C list.
All right,
hey, Joe,
I'm up next here. I'm gonna go with Ke'Bryan Hayes. I don't know why, like, I can't quit this guy. I feel like it's going to happen, right? And I mean, we kind of saw it last year, right? So first half was pretty mediocre. But then the second half, man, really, really turned things around, made adjustments in his swing. improved his average from 252 to 299, hit 10 home runs in the second half compared to 5 in the first half in almost 90, what is it, 86 less at-bats. So pretty significant there. The weird thing is that in the first half, he had 5 stolen or 9 stolen bases. And then in the second half, he only had 1. So it's like, can you just put it all together? That's what we want. Please just put it all together, man. Give us that 15-15, that 20-20 season. That's what everybody is hoping from this guy. And I think the potential is there, and he's cheap enough that why not take a shot on it? You know, but he could be another kind of Brendan Donovan type where he just kind of chips in a little bit everywhere, and but doesn't like wow you anywhere either. So I don't know. Again, it doesn't suck.
All right, Dap.
Yeah, so there is some guy on our show today that Rudy that called out my pick about 12 times, so I'm kind of pissed about that. Thanks a lot, Rudy. But Mr. Berger himself, Jake Berger. Yeah, so a couple things here. When he first moved to Miami, I was a little concerned just from the fact that Chicago White Sox play in a much more right field friendly park. But what happened was that this guy went to Miami and dropped his K rate by almost 10%. He has legitimate power, 30 plus home runs. He's not going to be a 300 hitter, but 275. And, you know, we're talking about people that we're legitimately excited about. If I end up with Berger at his current ADP, which is close to 200, it's like 175, 180. I would be legitimately happy about that. You know, if especially knowing that he's going to play every day in the Miami lineup, and if he continues kind of showing those additional strides, positive strides forward, I don't think this is a bad hit. I mean, you're going to have to make a couple of choices at a starter that you're going to have to make kind of a that stretch pick. And Jake Berger is, to me, the safest, riskiest pick that you can make in these lower ADPs.
Yeah. All right. So the guy I got here is Mr. Ryan McMahon of Colorado Rockies. McMahon is probably going to hit 5th in this order. So, you know, some of the at-bats may tail off a little bit there. But, I mean, you're looking at a guy who's basically free in drafts, you know, for standard league drafts. You know, his ADP is right around 300 on Fantasy Pros right now. Last year, he had 627 plate appearances, 23 homers, 80 runs, 70 ribbies, and he chips in 5 stolen bases. Now, the thing that was worrisome is that his K rate went up to almost 32% last year, where it was back down at 25-ish, 26 and change. You know, in 21 and 22, respectively. His ISO is solid. You know, he's 50 points above league average, which is around 140. He had a 191 last year. It was down in 2022, but it was back at 195 in 21. So, you know, the power's there. You know, and finding late power, like I talked about earlier, is what you can always do. There's guys like this, and he's going to be an everyday player too, or near everyday player. He's played over 150 games the last 3 seasons straight. So you gotta love that. And now that I've said it, he will probably be injured on week 2. So maybe look somewhere else. But yeah, McMahon's a solid bet.
Undraftable. Got it.
Yeah.
AJ Curse has been dropped.
Stamped. So
anyway.
All right. So give me. So that is it for the second base and third base draft strategy preview show, whatever we're calling it here. Rudy, I want to thank you for coming on, man. great conversation as always. Love having you here. Before we let you go, just let everybody know what you got going on this this wonderful baseball season.
Yeah, I mean, we're deep in draft season, so you know, we're selling our season long subscriptions that come with the free draft rooms. So that's recommended as a compliment to your fine offerings. Yeah, otherwise just tweeting at Rudy Gamble.
And it is worth every reading every single one of those. They're funny. So that and the Razzball, you guys are good. So, all right, Rudy, thanks for coming on, man. And we'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Rudy. Take care, man.
See ya. Alrighty, guys. I think that's it for the show. Unless Dappy usually seemed like offended, I don't let you have some other last word or something. I don't know. Am I supposed to do something?
I just want to say that there goes my hero. Now that Rudy's left, so you know.
That's Foo Fighters, Matt Nelson. It's Foo Fighters.
Some sort of like random music. That is not what I thought it was going to be. That was supposed to be cinematic. So I was like, hero music, and it was not at all.
Nothing heroic about that.
No, not at all.
That was exact. That was the exact song playing in my head right now. Thank you so much.
You had the balls to actually play it and then turn it off. That was heroic.
That's what I was about to just play. Guess like, yep, screwed that one up. All right.
Also heroic, but
on that note,
sorry about your luck.
I'm done. Next week we're bringing on I lost the slide.
I don't know
what the hell happened here. I had it, now it's
we're
gone.
Bringing on Bender's next week.
Bender,
nice. Howard Bender talking some shortstops, I believe. So we'll be back on Thursday, so look for us then. Have a good night, everyone. See y'all later. We'll be right back.